More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Today on More to Life, cool it! Tempers flaring at home, your family life, at work. We're going to show you how to stay calm, take the temperatures down, and find those grace-filled solutions you're seeking. 877-573-7825.
All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life.
Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everybody. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, cool it. Just cool it. We're talking about anger today. And the fact is, our tempers flare fairly often, and even more often, other people are lashing out in anger at us. So we want to talk about how to handle our own anger and the angry people in our lives gracefully. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
I love how you entered with that. Cool it, like almost peacefully. In my childhood, cool it did not get delivered in that tone of voice. It was cool it, knock it off. You know, definitely. I'm not kidding. It sounds so overdone, but my mother was that, if you two don't knock it off, I'm turning this car around. Woman. Like, the attempt to cool our own emotional temperature, get somebody else, especially children, under control, get their emotional temperature down, rarely comes out as, let's cool down now. I mean, there are a lot of folks who are trying it. But let's face it, when somebody is pushing our buttons, it's really hard to stay peaceful, in emotional control, able to problem solve in an effective way. And it can be frustrating for us, and then that drives our emotional temperature up even more. So whether you're dealing with your own frustration, or somebody else is throwing their anger and frustration toward you, it can be a difficult thing to know how to work out when you're in that situation. We want to help you with that today so that you can feel more in control, more peaceful, more able to problem solve in that situation. In other words, so you can stay in God's grace and be who He wants you to be in those moments. We can help you out if you give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
That's right. Call up and share. Is someone making you angry? For example, maybe you've got a kid who's getting under your skin. And none of us want to get angry at our kids. We don't. And we feel bad when we do. But often we can't help it because kids are really good at just being irritating sometimes.
And don't they always know exactly when to do it, right? Like, mm-hmm. when we're most tired, when we're dealing with another problem. So, yeah, it's really hard.
Or maybe your spouse is doing something that's making you lose your cool. I mean,
I wouldn't know what that was like.
I know. But me either, of course. but I'm sure that some people out there do. Yeah, well, look, all of us, including Lisa and
I get
angry about the things that we do or say and don't understand. It's common enough, but you need to know how to handle it well. Or maybe there's a friend or family member, boss, coworker that's pushing your buttons. And those situations are always delicate because those relationships tend to be a little fraught, right? For that matter, maybe somebody else is taking their anger out on you, which is never any fun.
So whether it's your anger or somebody else's that's causing you problems, let us help you find grace-filled ways to take down the temperature and find the best way forward. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. Now, you might be thinking, what is that? Why should I care? And how can it possibly help me deal with my own anger or the angry people in my life? Well, those are all terrific questions. I'm glad you asked them. So when St. John Paul was Pope, he gave a series of reflections that looked at how we could discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships.
And the theology of the body reminds us that the world is not what it was created to be. But as Christians, we're called to cooperate with that grace to make it better. In order to do that, we need to be able to recognize when things aren't the way they're meant to be. And anger actually helps us recognize potential injustice. It says, hey, that's not right. You need to do something about this. Unfortunately, studies show that anger is a poor motivator for action. In order to be able to use anger effectively, we need to remember that anger isn't so much a call to action as it is a call to prayer. Without prayer, anger can cause us to feel stuck, powerless, and perpetually outraged with no solutions in sight.
The theology of the body reminds us that God created our bodies, including our emotions. We often don't think about emotions as part of our body, but that's how they start, right? And God created our bodies, including our emotions, to work for our good and the good of other people. You might think, well, how does anger do that? Well, if we just act on anger on our own power, it tends not to. But when we unite anger with God's grace, rather than being the fuel that adds to the fire, anger becomes a powerful tool for promoting healing. Because sin has separated us from God, we need to make a point of consciously and intentionally bringing things like anger back to God so he can teach us how to use it appropriately. You know, when something upsets us, instead of giving in to outrage, we need to bring our anger to God and just say, Lord, help me identify the problem. Help me gather my resources that you've given me and help me make a plan so that I can glorify you in my response. And the better we can be about managing our anger in this prayerful way, the more we can feel competent, confident, and grace-filled in the presence of those situations and people that can get under our skin. And I just wanted to share, just the other day, you know, I was upset about something. I don't even remember what it was at this point, but I was just fuming. And I couldn't think straight about whatever it was. And I just kept saying, okay, God, I'm giving you this anger. Make something good out of it. just show me how to make something good out of this. Show me, and exactly what I just said, you know, show me what the problem is. Show me how to pull together whatever resources you need me to have to address this. Help me make a plan. But show me how to make something good out of this anger that I've got.
That wasn't easy for you to do in that moment.
No, but you know what? He answered that prayer. You know, I was able to start step by step walking out of that stuck, frozen, powerless place and feel better and start moving toward a solution. And it all worked out fine. But it took me being willing to bring those feelings to God and not be embarrassed about feeling that way or not wanting him to see the mess that I was in or how powerless I felt, and just really ask for the guidance in that moment. And he really walked me through those steps.
Well, I want to speak to that for a moment, because the kind of prayer you're talking about here is a very conversational prayer where you say, Lord, I'm out of control. I'm trying to trust you in this. I need you to help me know how to fix this. I need you to give me the grace now and walk with me to show me what to do. Now, that is the prayer, the kind of prayer, that is going to open you up to hearing God's end of that conversation, where he's going to start prompting you to, whoever is doing this, to take different steps to be able to hear new solutions. This is different than simply saying a prayer that you've memorized and just saying, God, fix this, and then staying locked in our own frustration. Now, it's perfectly reasonable to bring this to God, ask him to fix it, ask him to help you know what to do, the kind of prayer we were just talking about now, and then follow it up with meditative prayer that helps you calm down, like the rosary or the Divine Mercy chaplet. But first, we must bring to him our intentions of how we want to be open to him, that we want to be changed, that we want to hear him and be directed and protected by him, before we launch into just saying, you know, okay, I'm just going to do this prayer because somehow he'll fix it. We need to open ourselves up. We need to be conversational with God and really ask him for what we need.
So those are the kind of things we're talking about today on More to Life as we talk about anger. Whether you are angry at somebody or someone is making you angry, or you're trying to help someone deal more effectively with their anger, whether it's your kid who's tantruming or that teen who's lashing out or that adult or whoever is taking out their anger on you, we want to help you manage anger more effectively, gracefully even. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you those situations where we are either angry ourselves or having to deal with somebody else taking their anger out on us or having to help people we care about manage their anger better. Anger can sometimes be a scary feeling, and we don't like feeling out of control or that upset or that powerless or frustrated. So, Lord, we ask you right now, take the anger that we feel and make something good out of it. Show us how to respond to that anger in ways that help us identify what's really going on, that enable us to gather the resources that you've given to us, and help us make a plan so that we can glorify you in our response to the people and situations that are provoking our anger. Help us to stop being afraid of anger or stop being carried away by our anger, but instead cooperate with your grace so that we can use anger in the manner you intended it to be used, to call our attention to wounds, injustices, and problems so that we can respond and build the kingdom of God more effectively through your grace. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, cool it. We're talking about anger on our show. If tempers are flaring in your life at home, work, or otherwise, we want to show you how to stay calm, take the temperature down, and find those grace-filled solutions you are seeking. Whether it's your anger or you're having to deal with somebody else's anger, let us help you manage it gracefully. 877-573-7825.
Let's start off our day today talking to Tina, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi there, Tina. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Hi, yes. I just want to say thank you for all the guidance you've given me and my husband during these few months that we started listening to Guadalupe Radio, and I wanted to get some guidance on how we can navigate our 8 and 10-year-old's anger. Two boys. Just sometimes it can be kind of frustrating in the mornings because maybe they don't want to wake up, or it turns into some anger going on, and I just wanted to know how we can navigate to do that in a more Christian way, I guess you
could say. Sure. I love how you're
getting that. Are you specifically wanting to focus on like the morning routine and how it provokes anger, or are you have a more general question about kind of managing anger in other areas?
Managing anger in general, when it's not their way, they bring out that anger. And they're very happy children. Like, that's not the issue. Mm-hmm. It's just when it's not their way, they, you know, that anger comes out and it's like, okay, how do I do this in a peaceful manner as a mother?
I love this. I love this question so much. I want to start with the idea of if it's not their way and they're already 8 and 10, they're always going to have something that they don't get their way. But having family conversations, and we talk about this a lot on our Catholic HOM app, having family conversations with them, scheduled ones, once a week we're meeting and talking about all the stuff that's going on. And saying to them, like, let's go with your morning routine just for the sake of example here. Saying to them, hey, it's hard for everybody to get up. Like, Dad and I don't really want to have to face the morning and the day either. But as adults, we can lie in bed, talk to God, talk ourselves through, okay, it's not going to be that bad. I have obligations. I'm going to launch myself out of this bed. I'm going to do the best I can. Because we're adults. We've been through it. They haven't been trained to do that yet. They just know, I don't want to do this, and I don't really want to face my school day or whatever it is that they have to face. So in those family meetings, saying, hey, how would it be easier for you guys to get up in the morning and be able to be more pleasant and feel more positive about your day? And give suggestions. Should we get up 10 minutes earlier? Should we be getting some time to snuggle as a family? Get their input on this or whatever it is that's frustrating.
Yeah, and you know, initially they might, you know, even just say, you know, well, we just don't want to have to do it, right? And you know, at that point you reaffirm, it's like, well, look, this has to happen. You know, that's not a choice, right? We have to figure out how to do it. But the fact is, none of us like the way it goes. Right, you don't like the way we're coming to you, waking you up. We don't like the attitude that you got whenever you're tired and grumpy in the morning. How can we as a family work better together to handle our morning routine? And because they're 8 and 10, they're old enough to be part of the problem-solving process. And if you can get their buy-in with that, then it becomes easier. So whenever they are grumpy in the morning anyway, because they still will be, then you say, hey,
adults are too.
Remember, hey, guys, remember we talked about this, right? And you guys said that, you know, we were going to approach it this way. What can we do to get back on track? And you prompt them in that way. The thing is, most of us try to just handle these sort of situations in the moment when they come up. And this is the worst time to handle it because everybody's already at a 9 on the emotional temperature scale, and all you can do is go crazy from there.
Yeah, and really, whether it's handling the kids or handling ourselves or our spouse or another adult, when we try to handle something in the moment, in the heat of the moment, that makes the person angrier because they don't feel heard or understood.
And then we get angry because we're feeling frustrated and we've got a time limit here, especially getting ready for school, and then we lose it too. So taking the conversation out of that situation into a place where you're all relatively calm and saying, hey, let's talk about how we as a family could handle this better. And then you get their buy-in, you generate ideas.
You can even write down those ideas so everybody can review them once a week. Or if stuff starts, you know, the night before, hey, remember, this is how we're going to handle tomorrow. We've got it on our list here. Let's go over it. It will help you all feel more effective, and you're teaching them a lifelong skill because they're going to have to get themselves up and out every single day for the rest of their lives. So it's an investment in a lifelong skill and building relationship in the family that says we can handle this together.
Now, Tina, this will get you started. If you need more support, we do talk more about these kinds of things and parenting your kids with grace. But I would also encourage you to become part of the Catholic Home Community. That's Catholic.
Absolutely.
HOM stands for Households on Mission. It's an app we created where we, Lisa and I and our whole team of pastoral counselors are giving parent coaching every day to all of our subscribers, plus tons of creative resources like monthly downloadable activities to help making living the faith at home more enjoyable and simpler, drawing your family closer together. We have exclusive podcast content and just tons of stuff. And I really encourage you to learn more and be part of that community so that we can help you every day build a more loving, connected and caring Catholic family life. Download the Catholic HOM app wherever you get your apps, and we'll hope to see you there as follow-up. But these suggestions will definitely get you started. 877-573-7825. We're talking about anger today on More to Life, whether it's your own anger being piqued or someone else has taken out their anger on you. Let's talk about how to handle it gracefully. 877 877-
573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls. Plus, we'll be joined by Father Thomas Loya of the Tabor Life Institute. He'll be sharing some insights from his ministry on how he helps people manage anger gracefully. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit avemariafunds.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Have you ever been so grief-stricken and so heartsick that you can't see God? You can't see God in the tragedy. You can't see God in that cross. You can't see God in that sin. Why? You're enveloped in that grief. You're enveloped in fear. And God is out the window. You don't see Him standing right next to you.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. Today's show is titled Cool It, as we talk about anger, either our own anger or the times that people take their anger out on us. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Father Thomas Loya of the Tabor Life Institute. He is a pastor, a counselor, an expert on the theology of the body, and an artist as well. Father Loya, welcome to More to Life.
Well, why are you bothering me? Can't you see I'm busy? I'm angry.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, and think we get angry about all kinds of things all the time, but there is a graceful way to deal with anger, and you wanted to share some insights that you share with your parishioners and clients to help them manage anger more effectively. Where do we start?
Yeah, what a timely subject, because not only do I share these things, but I had to really reach into them this past couple of weeks as I'm working on some big-time intense projects with people, and things were getting kind of tense, and I was on the receiving end of some pretty tough anger, and I had to really reach into these principles you're talking about today. I mean, really reach into them to hold back my own anger and respond properly. So what I did was I realized that an emotion of anger or feelings should direct us to calm, prayerful, objective examination of how we're thinking, our cognitive system. We have to kind of calm down from that, like you're saying. You have to calm down. And what I did was the people that were angry at me, and I tried not to get angry back, you know, was I tried to zero in on what really are they angry about? Like, what's really underneath it all? And once I could identify that, then I started to treat that, you know, like a doctor treating the source of an illness and not just the symptoms. And once I started doing that, treating them and bringing some consolation, bringing some reason, some encouragement, their anger started to subside. And then so did mine as well, because they changed in their relationship to me. So it's very difficult at times, but you have to look into the cognitive. What are they thinking? What's really underneath it all? So you have to really listen. You have to drop your own defenses. It's very hard, but to just try to figure out what is it that's really, really they're reacting to. What are they really angry about? What's their fear? What's really going on? And try to address that. And also, what I had to do also, I'll reach into my little, I take a breath, I say, Jesus, pray, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. You need that with anger. You know, anger is an energy, and it's quick, and it's fast, and it's hard. So you need something to deflect it. And just a simple kind of deep breath, I just say, Lord Jesus, to yourself, is enough to sometimes diffuse so that you can now stay kind of rational. So the thing is don't flip back at them. Don't kind of respond in kind. Try to stay calm. Really listen. Find out what's really underneath all this in yourself, too. I examine myself, too. Okay, Tom, why are you getting angry? What is it within you that you want to flip back at this person and get angry? And I came to the bridge of it. I have to admit, I came to the edge of it. I had to conjure up all my theology of the body wisdom that I could. But then I realized I examined myself. I got in touch with myself then. It was hard. And I also got in touch with other person. And ever since then, it's been wonderful. And it worked.
Well, I want to go back to this idea. You know, so what you're really saying here, I think, to summarize it, is that you, even though the person was taking their anger out on you, you were able to not take the anger personally. And instead, you were able to say, this isn't about me. This is about a wound right. that they're experiencing. And they're screaming exactly. at me because they're hurting. They're not screaming at me because they hate me. They're screaming at me because right. they're hurting. And if I can identify the wound, then I can treat it. But too often we get caught up in, what are you yelling at me for? What the heck did I do? What's wrong? You know, and then right. we get... So that process you were describing allows us to kind of keep that anger at arm's length, not take it personally and say, how can I address the wound? Which I think is just... brilliant, and we all have to deal with it. And I want to thank you for sharing that example from your own life this week.
Yes, I had to. Yeah, it's not easy. I had to dig deep, you know. But that's what did it. Like just like you're saying, I had to be in touch with my own anger, my own temptation for anger, and really understand what they're really about. And
well, thanks again for being with us, Father Loya. And folks like to learn more about your ministry, I encourage them to go to taborlife.org. That's TABOR, like the mountain. taborlife.org. And with that, we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. We're talking about anger and angry people on More to Life today on our show titled Cool It. More with your calls when we come back, 877-573-7825.
Can a priest ever reveal what he has heard in confession? No, he cannot, the Catechism firmly states. Due to the delicacy and greatness of this ministry and the respect due to persons, the Church declares that the priest must keep all he hears under the seal of the sacrament. Under no circumstances may he disclose what he has heard in confession. Were he to do so, he would face severe Church penalties. When he is celebrating the sacrament of penance, the priest is fulfilling the ministry of the Good Shepherd seeking the lost sheep. The Good Samaritan who binds up the wounds, the merciful Father who welcomes home the prodigal son, and the impartial judge whose judgment is just and merciful. The confessor is the servant, not the master of God's forgiveness, leading the penitent to maturity and healing. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John chapter 11, verses 21 to 26. This is the story of Lazarus. Lazarus has died. Lazarus is one of his best friends. Just before this passage, we hear the news that Martha and Mary send word to Jesus that the one you love is sick. And the next line in the scripture is, now because Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, he stayed where he was. His friend's in need. He can heal. They've seen him heal before. And yet somehow, because he loves him, he stays. And Lazarus dies. And then Jesus shows up 3 days later and is greeted by Martha and Mary, who confront him with the words, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died. Rather applicable for many of us in our lives. We ask the Lord to do one thing because we're certain it is what we think is best, when in fact he has something which far surpasses what we ask for. The challenge is, in waiting for that to happen, we go through very trying times, which oftentimes makes us wonder, does he really care?
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. Jesus reminds us that the key to receiving mercy is being merciful to others. Being merciful means treating people in a manner that reminds them of their worth in God's eyes. We have lots of chances to practice being merciful all day, but the best place to start is in our marriage and family lives. Here are some ways you can begin being merciful to your spouse and kids and reminding them of what they're worth in God's eyes. First, be demonstrative with your love and affection. Let your spouse and kids feel God's love for them flowing through your arms when you hold them. Second, serve with joy. Remind your spouse and kids how much they're worth to God by taking the time to respond promptly to their concerns and requests. And third, bear wrongs patiently and forgive willingly. By practicing these spiritual works of mercy, we give our spouse and kids a physical reminder that nothing they do will separate them from God's love or ours. To learn more about being merciful in your marriage and family life, check out my book, The Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, Cool It. We're talking about anger. Our tempers flaring at home or work. We want to show you how to stay calm, take that temperature down, and find the grace-filled solutions you're seeking, whether it's your own anger, which you're concerned about, or the way other people are taking their anger out on you. 877-573-7825.
We want to take a moment before we answer our next caller to congratulate two longtime EWTN radio partners. Holy Family Radio in Louisville is celebrating 26 years with EWTN. And Immaculate Heart Radio in Hopkinsville, Kentucky marks 22 years with us.
Sending out congratulations to Vince Heiser in Louisville and Jim Monroe in Hopkinsville. From all of us here at EWTN and folks, wherever you are listening to EWTN Catholic Radio, make sure you are supporting your local EWTN Catholic radio station. Let's keep EWTN going strong for decades to come so we can keep supporting you and living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life.
And I have to say, personally, when we get to thank somebody who's covering an area where we have family, and we have family in Louisville now, I'm like, thank you, God, that they could just, like, flip on the radio someday and get what they need from you through what they're hearing on EWTN. So, again, we thank these wonderful longtime partners, and we do ask you to remember that you're doing a great service to the whole world when you support EWTN and all of our affiliate stations. It really does make a difference.
With that, let's go to our next caller. Lisa, who's up?
Let's talk with Eileen, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Maryland.
How are you,
Eileen,
today?
We're good. What can we do for you, Eileen?
Well, I wanted to talk to you about anger when driving. And it's really a problem. I end up cursing and everything, and I get so upset. And I mean, I've talked to priests about it. I've gone to confession about it and everything. And I still end up doing it, you know, in the morning. So I started listening to Mother Angelica in the morning saying the rosary instead.
Yep.
You know, because I know that God's disappointed in me because I've done it several times, and I go to confession and, you know, and then turn around and do it again. And I'm like, man, I got to go to confession again on that.
Sure. Okay. Well, let's jump in here. So first of all, Eileen, I want you to hear this, and I want anybody to hear this. You know, God is never disappointed in us, all right, even when we sin. He knows that we're sinners. And, you know, it's like, would a doctor be disappointed in a patient being sick? No, that's what patients
are. He would hurt for us. He would be concerned for us and our well-being, but he's not going to walk it. Well, I have to say, there are a couple of doctors I've known who will shame people, but a good doctor, and God is the ultimate good doctor, will not do that.
So don't worry about that. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't take responsibility for our sins and that we don't need to address them. We don't need to, I'm not saying we don't need to take the treatment that the divine physician gives us faithfully.
And going to confession is that first step. We get the grace to work on ourselves and to do better. We need that grace that we receive to be able to be absolved, but then to really go and work on it. Without that grace, oh, it makes it so much harder.
But what I'm hearing you describe, though, I think, is that you're praying about this and receiving the sacrament for it in the hopes that you won't have the anger anymore. And that's not realistic, right? So anger, again, as we talked about earlier, is a gift from God. Now, not the way you were expressing it, obviously, and not the way a lot of us express anger. But the anger itself is a gift from God that reminds us, that points our attention to an injustice. So if somebody cuts you off in traffic, you're going to feel angry about that because that's not the way things are supposed to be, right? God is calling your attention to an injustice. But the natural ways we tend to respond to that injustice tend to make things worse, right? When we, you know, try to chase that person down or yell at them or, you know, give them the flying pickle finger of fate, you know, or any of those things, you know, those aren't good things.
Right? No.
So what do we do instead, right? You feel the anger, you recognize I'm going to be angry about this, and then you bring it to God and you say, Lord, I can't believe they did that. Lord, I'm so angry right now. Please make something good come out of this. Show me how to make something good happen here. And then you try to pray for them. Lord, whatever they're getting to, whatever they're in such a hurry, or why ever they're being so distracted, please bless them. And please help them be safe and take care of whatever's on their mind and heart. And so you take that anger and you're bringing it to God, so you're letting him teach you how to manage it, and then you're bringing that other person to God and asking him to bless them. So you're addressing that injustice in a way that allows you to say, you know, there's nothing I can necessarily do directly about this, but I can offer them up in prayer. And I can ask God to be with them as they're rushing to whatever it is that they're so concerned about that's got them so distracted. And just be patient with yourself, though, Eileen, because I used that metaphor at the very beginning about a patient and a doctor, because, you know, this kind of anger, this tendency to just lash out in our anger, it is a sin. It's the sin of wrath, but it's a sickness. Sin is a sickness. It's not a failing. And the divine physician wants to heal us from that. And so we take that treatment by going to our divine physician and saying, Lord, here's where the hurt is. Please show me what to do with it. And then we follow that by praying for that person. So I don't want you to pray that the anger just goes away, because that's not realistic. Anger is going to come up every time something unjust happens. And we're going to feel angry about angry producing things. But it's a matter of how you process that anger. And the steps that we've suggested here, I think, will really help.
The other thing I'd like you to reflect on in your prayer is, how are you perceiving their bad driving? There are two big categories for this. Either you're feeling threatened because they could harm you and everybody else on the road. Completely understandable. But that usually causes one to drive a little bit more safely, to pull back a little bit. The second way is that you're feeling challenged. And there are a lot of drivers out on the road right now who are driving just to challenge somebody else, just to get into a race or some kind of, you know, in and out thing. And if we take them up on that, then we are falling into the same sin they are, which is taking other people's lives into our own hands. So really reflect on that and say, Lord, when I'm dealing with this, not only help me with my anger, but help me not fall into a pattern that's going to also do the same thing to others on the road.
But again, you know, trying to do that in a way that says I shouldn't feel angry at all,
right,
is not realistic. So accept the fact that you're going to be angry about things that are unjust, but process it differently along the lines that we're suggesting here. Thanks for the call, Eileen. That's something we all deal with. I've gotten angry plenty of times at other drivers.
No, we've been really honest. Like, the only time you and I really know that we have to be very careful with our emotional temperature, it's a preset for us, is when we're driving together. Because both of us have very different reactions to this kind of thing. We know what we're talking about, yep, when you're sharing this with us, Eileen.
And we do the same thing we're just telling you to do, so
I
know it works.
Right.
877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. We're going to head to our break just a minute early so that we can give more time to our next caller. And as we head out, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20.
Know this, my dear brothers, everyone should be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God.
There's so much wisdom in this verse.
It also proves we've been going through this forever, because this was written a very long time ago.
Yeah, but, you know, but what James is not saying, don't ever be angry.
Right.
Okay? What he's saying is, you know, okay, feel that anger, but really listen. Think about what you're going to say. Don't just react and lash out, but do exactly what we were just talking about to Eileen.
Yeah.
Bring that anger to God. Say, teach me how to respond to this, Lord. And then listen. Because the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. But righteous anger that comes from God helps us to calm down and identify a plan and successful steps for bringing justice out of injustice, bringing healing out of hurt, bringing peace out of chaos and pain. And that's what anger is meant to do, to motivate us to take productive, appropriate, and proportionate steps to respond to the injustices and hurts in our lives. We're going to talk more about how to do that when More to Life continues after the break. If you are struggling with either your own angry outbursts or managing other people lashing out at you, we're here to help on our show today titled Cool It, 877-573-7825. We'll be back in a minute.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. Maybe you've even prayed the prayer of spiritual communion. Spiritual communion is a concept that goes all the way back to the 4th century. It flourished in the Eastern Church and gradually moved west. Spiritual communion stresses the transcendence of God, where we unite our desires, intentions, and loves with the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the consecration of the Eucharist at the altar. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
This program is brought to you in part by the following organization. The Precip app provides rainfall history at specific locations without needing a rain gauge. It uses radar technology to show recent rainfall totals, long-term seasonal trends, and weather information at selected locations. More information can be found at precipapp.com. That's precipapp.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
We're so glad to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Cool It. As we talk about anger, is someone making you angry, or is somebody taking out their anger on you? Either way, we want to help you find grace-filled ways to take down that temperature and find the solutions that you're seeking. 877-573-7825.
I want to thank our next caller for bringing up this conversation, because if you're a parent and you're trying to take your kids to Mass, he's addressing your issue as well. Alex from Missouri, thank you for calling. What can we do for you today?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So I'm a Catholic father with 5 kids under 10, and so each Sunday I prepare my kids for Mass. We talk about how to behave. I use positive reinforcement, you know, give them the look, you know, all that stuff. And I'm trying to reverence by staying focused myself, but they still get disruptive, and when that happens, I do feel real anger rising up, and I worry about...
You're saying disruptive at Mass, or disruptive getting... Sorry, disruptive in what way?
Yeah, in Mass. So I don't want to disrespect this, you know, the sacredness of Mass and disturb others, but in those moments when I lose patience, you know, I kind of feel like I'm failing. So like in Mass, getting up kicking the pew in front of them and moving around and talking to each other, quietly. The normal stuff.
I gotcha. So there are two parts to your question, as far as I can tell. The first part is just maybe some just general tips on managing the behavior at home at Mass better. But then the second one is kind of how to kind of get your mind to a place where these actions, these very normal actions from kids in a quiet space, don't trigger you quite so much. So let me just ask you, when you're sitting in the pew together, how do you guys sit? And you know, where do you sit, and how do you sort of lay that out?
So I've been thinking about it, and initially we kind of sit in the middle, but I started sitting up front so they could see what's going on.
Good.
And
mm-hmm. Good, that's great.
And maybe be able to participate more that kind of worked a little, but maybe not so much. So. I've tried sitting in the back where I can take them out, if they're being too disruptive, for a break, and then maybe.
And do you sit like so that, some kids are on one side of you and other kids are on the other side, and some kids are on the mom's side,
yeah.
Okay, good. So you break them up that way.
Sure. I'm sorry. I sit on the end and I put my most unruly kids next to me, and then, the oldest, actually is a model, for the other kids.
Is your wife with you at Mass?
My wife is actually not Catholic. We were validated, and it is a valid marriage. So she goes to Mass sometimes, not always.
But mostly it's you handling all five kiddos. Okay.
I got
you. Now, I can tell you, you can work this out, because when our kids were young, Greg was the music minister at our parish, and I was doing every Mass alone after, because we had one car driving him to Masses, driving the kids back, dressing them. I feel what you're going through here, Alex. I like the fact that you're trying to prepare them on a Sunday morning, but I will say that's probably raising your emotional temperature up because you're also trying to get them out the door. You want to be practicing some of these skills throughout the week in a peaceful way, including, at dinner time, you sitting down?
That's actually, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just want to highlight this. That's one of the best ways to prepare your kids for Mass is by making sure that everybody is sitting at the table at dinner time every day and practicing that.
Yeah, any dinners that you can have together, you want to be practicing taking turns speaking, using good manners with each other, being able to stay, on your chair, not flipping on it all over the place. That kind of practice in real life then transfers very well to going to Mass and knowing how to be still and quiet. Not completely still, they're kids, but better behave.
The difference, a lot of families just let kids get down and run around at Mass
during dinner.
And that doesn't teach them to sit still for longer periods of time.
They never have to sit still as long as they do in Mass any other day of the week. So.
And your family dinner's not going to last an hour, but it's going to give them practice of staying at the table. And we're not suggesting, by the way, that they just have to sit there rigid in front of their food. It's, if they're done with their meal, they can have coloring pages, or
yes,
they can have other things to do or whatever, but they're going to learn to sit at the table and be part of the family thing, which gives you guys a chance to practice sitting still for longer periods of time, which then extends to their behavior at Mass.
And that's the next step. So once you've begun to lay down this good behavior in a normal family setting, I would say try to go over that Mass behavior on Friday night or Saturday before, not Sunday morning, because then everybody's thinking, okay, now this is too intense. You just want to be practicing this gently with them. And because you have a lot of children who are younger, bringing very quiet, I'm underlining that, things that they can do at Mass that will allow them to be able to have something peaceful to do during the parts of the Mass that they don't understand, the longer readings, things like that. So things like washable markers and a coloring book so that nothing is being harmed in the church.
And ideally, a coloring book that's either with Bible stories in it or
some kind of religious nature. There are some beautiful, you know, busy books that are very quiet that are literally for the Mass. That kind of idea. It's very important to give them something that they can sort of handle when they start to get distracted. The one thing I picked up on is you said you try to be a good example by staying, you know, very present in the Mass and very still. If you're doing that and not catching behaviors early enough, that example's not going to work. So you want to be as peaceful as you can be, but you also want to kind of have both eyes in both directions, kind of, if they start to get a little antsy, pull them up on your lap, cuddle them, give them a chance to calm down a little bit. Say, hey, you know, we're about to do this thing in the Mass. Can you look for, you know, can you listen for this word? Get them gathered to you rather than waiting for a rougher behavior to happen.
You know, and this is the last thing I want to address, and this was the you know, when you're saying, you know, I want to make sure that they recognize that it's sacred. And we have this idea that sacred means be still, be silent.
We think we're all, including, you know, kids under five, we're supposed to, like, turn into monks all of a sudden.
And when they don't do that, then we get angry because it's not being sacred. We're not respecting the sacredness of the Mass. That's not true at all. All right, sacred just means reserved for God. That's what sacred means, a thing that is specially reserved for God. And by bringing your children to Mass, you are reserving your family for God. And as parents, our job is less about being still and being present the way we would normally be if we were at Mass on our own. And our job at that point becomes, how do I help my kids get through this experience in a way that is positive, in a way that feels loving, in a way that enables them to feel like they were successful there?
Which in a way that they can begin to feel God's love through my actions with them before and after Mass. And also, in a way that allows me to then do something after Mass with them that's kind of rewarding and gathering for us and fun. So you meet with Mom, you all go out to breakfast together, or you make sure that you're going home and you're going out in the yard and running around together, but you make Sunday more than going to Mass and then everybody scatters to the four winds. Just make it kind of a sacred and holy day because it's time together to love each other and God.
But in the church, be less concerned about making sure everybody stays still and, you know, and be more concerned on how can I kind of lovingly coach them through this experience so that we can have a positive encounter with Christ and each other at Mass. Make that your focus instead of, I have to be perfectly still and perfectly attentive and perfect as a way of modeling to my children who need to be perfectly still and perfectly attentive. Mm-hmm. That's going to just set you up for failure.
Please remember that when the disciples were sort of saying, you know, this is Jesus and people around him need to be this certain way, he said, no, let the little children come unto me. You know, okay. He knows that your children have developmental levels, and he just wants to spend time with them at Mass.
Alex, I want to thank you for being such a godly dad and really taking the lead here, even though your wife doesn't share your faith.
And asking this question because so many parents turned up the volume when you called.
Thank you so much for the call, Alex. And I would invite you and all of our listeners who are dealing with these kinds of issues to take advantage of the Catholic Home app. That's Catholic HOM. It stands for Households on a Mission. So Lisa and I actually commissioned a study through Georgetown University that looked at parents who successfully raised all of their kids to be faithful Catholic adults. And those families intuited 12 habits that we teach to families through the Catholic Home app. It's Catholic HOM. So Lisa and I and our whole team of pastoral counselors are on the app every day interacting with our subscribers, helping them overcome discipline problems, helping them discover how they can encounter Christ more meaningfully at home, make prayer time more meaningful, and really just create a more loving, caring, and connected family life. And in addition to the coaching, you're going to get a ton of resources, creative resources, like monthly downloadable activities that make living the faith at home fun, our exclusive podcast content for Catholic moms, Catholic dads, and Catholic families. We've got an animated cartoon series that actually teaches parents and kids together how to be a dynamic domestic church, and that's just scratching the tip of the surface. So if you are looking for ways that you can be a more confident Catholic parent and raise great godly kids and build a more loving, connected and caring Catholic family life. Really invite you to join us in the Catholic HOM community. Download the Catholic Home app wherever you get your apps, and you can get 2 months free with an annual subscription of $149, or you can go the monthly route at $14.95 a month. One subscription covers you, your spouse, the whole family, all your kids, and you don't ever have to feel overwhelmed or alone as a Catholic parent again. So check it out, Catholic HOM, wherever you get your apps. And that's all the time we've got for today's program. If you are looking for more ways to handle your own anger or deal more effectively with the people who are getting angry with you, then reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family life, or personal life in the light of God's grace. Check it out, CatholicCounselors.com. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Thanks for tuning in. Have a blessed day.
To Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.